All right. Have you ever heard of, I guess she's on TikTok or something, but I see her on Instagram pop up from time to time. It's an account called Wise Words from, I think it's Neve or Nave.
No.
Anyways, she's like some, I don't know, this blonde chick who basically she just does puns.
Okay.
Or like something silly. I'll play something from her that's like super like common stuff she says. It's like really awkward puns.
Okay.
Today is Valentine's Day. To me, I call it Independence Day.
And then she just makes it awkward. Like that's all she
I does. Have seen that girl actually. I just didn't know the name.
Well, that's all she posts is just stuff like that. Let me read to you her comment section.
No.
All right. And I want you to know that every one of her comments for all her videos is exactly the same.
Okay.
Just maybe a little different. This is one of the comments. LOL, really funny. Boil my nuts in mayonnaise.
What?
Let me read you another one. Very funny, Neve. Queef on my snorkel. Here's another one. That's funny. Drill a hole in my spine and piss in it.
Why?
I don't know. But anyway, here's haha. That's so funny. Tie me up and shit in my chest, then piss in my mouth after that. Light my body on fire with gasoline. That was a typo in there.
These poor people that just
hilarious
want to hear
drain
review
my bank account and use it to fund a clandestine terrorist organization.
These poor people that just wanted to listen to a Dune review. The first thing they hear is, "Oh shit on my back and call me a whore."
That was just one. Let's go to another one.
This is the only love triangle I want.
And she's holding a slice of pizza.
Nice.
Let's go to that. Let's go to that comment section. Hilarious. Travel back in time and touch me when I was a little kid.
Oh my God. You said a lot of things on the podcast. You can't say that.
No. This is a comment section. I'm not. This is a quote. I'm quoting someone else.
Funny part is Mac is making all these up. He just had them written in his notes.
Hilarious. Slam my tip in the dishwasher door.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait. Here's one that's not normal. Day 9 of asking you to start an OnlyFans. Still effed up, but I mean.
Oh, my God. All right. That's fantastic. I'm going to start this podcast with a cardinal sin of what you're not supposed to do on a podcast.
What I just said?
No. No, I'm about to do the cardinal sin on a podcast, and this bit would be funnier if we had, you know, visuals, but we don't.
But we don't.
So,
because we're not funded, and you know what? That's the viewer's problem. You about
I'm
to make
so
a
so freaking hungry right now.
All right, for y'all who can't see this, he just brought out all the fixings for a PB&J,
a whole loaf of bread, and two giant containers of peanut butter and jelly.
You know, when you went upstairs a minute ago to get a charger,
yeah,
I was looking down at the table and I said, why the hell are there
two napkins with knives?
Two napkins with butter knives on them. Bro, I'll eat a PB&J with you.
So we're going to make peanut butter and jellies while we do a podcast.
This time on 1-2 Diners and Drives.
Whoa. Oh, God. I got healthy bread, though. Hope you're okay with that.
What is it, whole wheat? Or multigrain?
21 whole grains. Dave's killer bread.
Oh, Dave's killer bread. You know why I don't buy that bread?
Why?
Because it always seems expensive.
It is more expensive, but I will say too.
Also, my wife makes bread, so it's just,
oh, that's I'm jelly. But
and
dude,
she makes money.
Nature's Own honey wheat. That's what I want right now. I just want to be a piece of garbage and eat a nice, crispy Nature's Own honey wheat,
you
or
ever,
just this white of white
you ever
bread.
Just
you can
get like Hawaiian loaves before.
No.
Well, you can get that.
I didn't know you could get that.
You know what else you can get?
What?
They make Hawaiian pretzel buns.
That sounds good,
dude.
I hope you like crunchy peanut butter.
You know what I would say if that was...
Dude, listen. This is a fresh can. Hold on. A fresh jar of nut butt. Nut butter.
You need to turn that into a brand. Wow.
That's some asthma right there.
Man.
ASMR. That's how you pronounce it, right? Asthma? It sounds like a condition. Oh, look at that thick, crunchy nut butt, dude.
Can you can you just make your own brand of peanut butter and call it Nut Butt?
Called Nut Butt?
Is that crunchy?
I wonder if it exists. I just said I hope you like crunchy Nut Butt.
Oh, I thought you were just trying to be gross.
No, I have crunchy.
You want to know something funny?
What? You refuse to eat crunchy?
Sometimes.
Sucks to suck. Today's not that day,
only,
bro.
Only when I'm eating peanut butter jellies.
Commit to the bit, bro.
Bro, I will.
Go get your own creamy.
Don't make me.
Go get. You got peanut butter upstairs. I brought this from home. Because we left the movie, and we're supposed to come here, and I said, you know what? I'm starving. Then I said, I need to go get peanut butter and jelly.
And I said, you can just eat one at my house. And I said, wait, bro. I don't have any bread.
I can riff for about 30 seconds if you want to go get your creamy.
No. It's fine. It's fine. You know what?
Oh, I got peanut butter on my laptop.
Oh, man. Last time you got nut butt on your laptop, it was something else, wasn't it?
It wasn't crunchy. All right.
Look,
I got weird stuff, man. I got like this healthy bread, I got crunchy peanut butter, and I got like a
is
very
like a,
natural like jam.
Is that like strawberry jam?
Well, it's also
it's
got cherries
red.
In it.
What the hell is this?
It's strawberries, cherries, red currants, and raspberries. I don't know what a red currant is. He's like, I don't want your peanut butter.
I think that's
anymore.
Something that comes once a month. They call it the red currant.
You gotta stop. This is getting messy very quickly.
Well, I mean, you're supposed to use a spoon when it comes to jelly.
No. Look, we're improvising.
That's why it's messy.
We're improvising, okay? I'm trying to do all natural. I'm trying to be
survive.
Trying to be somewhat healthy here, okay?
Please not get that on my very expensive lawyer's desk.
Oh, yeah, it's so expensive.
I told you, this is a really expensive desk. I just got it for free.
I could burn this desk. I wouldn't care.
Dude, I would.
The amount of times I've had to move it with you. All right, here you go.
The one time.
Or go get make your own stuff. If you
No. When in Rome.
You have your own
knife. You know exactly what that means, Mr. I've been to Rome.
I have been to Rome.
This is going to become like a mukbang, right?
That's why I said this is something like, this is a cardinal sin. You're not supposed to eat while on a podcast. Buff club.
Oh, great. This is turning into a real shit show.
I told you.
Man, this is very nutty.
This is very nutty.
I've never once like used crunchy peanut butter. Is that weird?
Ever?
I've never used it on anything.
Uh-oh. You're about to hate his life.
I think when I was in college, we would like have certain communal things, like PB&J was a communal thing. And then one of my roommates just bought crunchy once, and I went to like make a PB&J, and I just immediately like opened the jar, looked at it, and then closed the lid.
Come on, adds texture. Just like these full cherries.
I don't like adventurous things sometimes.
If you hate it, I'll eat it.
You did say you were hungry.
Yeah, I will eat it.
So a question.
What?
All right. When you go to like a Mexican restaurant, you get chips and dip?
Yeah.
Well, they always give you salsa, right?
Uh-huh.
So what do you do? Do you go from salsa to cheese or cheese to salsa?
Hmm?
Like, if you want cheese and salsa on your
like
chip.
Like, together? Both of them together?
Yeah, you want them on the same chip. What do? I think this is a pretty common.
Cheese then salsa.
Exactly. You don't want to dilute the cheese dip.
Right, because a lot of people, like, are bigger cheese fans than salsa fans, so, like, they don't want their cheese diluted.
Yeah. They're cheese purists.
And cheese mixes into salsa better than salsa into cheese.
True. What am I doing?
I don't know what you're doing, man. You're struggling.
I'm tisming out right now. What about peanut butter and jelly? Do you go, if you're using the same knife like we just did, would you rather go from PB or peanut butter to jelly or jelly to peanut butter?
Peanut butter to jelly.
Really?
Yeah, not you?
I mean, I have no preference because
I usually
think about
it this
wipe
way.
Them off, but we're not in the kitchen.
Me
right
too.
Now.
We have paper towels. I wipe mine off.
Oh, I didn't.
Whoops. Oh my God.
Oh, gosh, it's not...
I know.
Spreading.
I'm sorry, man. I brought the wrong stuff. It's all I had.
I had the PB and jelly. I just didn't have the bread.
Well, I told you. Go upstairs and get what you want.
I don't have the bread. Don't have the bread.
What was I going to say?
It's because no one funds our podcast. We need a sponsor.
If you go jelly...
Manscaped.
If you go jelly into peanut butter,
Jelly has to be refrigerated. Your peanut butter, your clothes not putting back in the pantry. There's going to be bits of jelly in that that won't get refrigerated.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah, then it's going to get gross. Bacterias.
You know what's funny is...
I love all the like awkward silences while we're chewing.
I know, we're just like... I know.
And I guess what? I don't care.
I don't care either.
Guess what? I don't care. I'm making a really good sandwich.
I did see a peanut butter jar once that said, please refrigerate after opening.
What?
But I also think it's like one of those like supernatural, no preservatives peanut butter.
The stuff squeezing out the back.
Uh-oh.
That's how I like it, squeezed out the back. Tell me it's not terrible, bro.
You know what? I'll give it a pass because
that's all we got.
This bread is like super chunky.
Yeah, dude.
That honey oat bread.
Yeah, dude.
Multigrain honey oat, whatever.
It's a lot. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot. But look, you can feel better about yourself eating this, right? This is all natural.
Yeah.
Is it, though?
I'm losing weight eating it, right?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Burning more calories than I'm taking in.
I also have honey Dijon kettle cooked chips. It sounds like a weird flavor, but they're so fucking good, dude.
It sounds like a pretzel. Like
they're
like
so good.
Pretzel chip.
You gotta try some here.
I got PB&J in my mouth.
There's a lot happening right now, guys. I hope you don't mind.
We've really like gone downhill so fast.
This is like episode one material right here.
Those chips are fire.
I told you, dude. They're like my favorite flavor of chip ever.
And you know what? They wouldn't be good if they weren't kettle cooked.
100%.
You're right. I know, honey.
The best chips.
The best chips.
Donald Trump as he smacks that peanut butter. He's like,
listen. Let me tell you. Nom,
nom, nom. So,
build a wall.
Yum, yum, yum. Yum, yum.
I feel like that is how he would chew.
In my tummy. That is the yummiest. In my tummiest.
Oh, listen, Donald.
Claudia, come get this.
Donald, you can't. I'm nom. All over here.
I literally started talking as soon as I shoved a whole bunch of shit in my face.
Dude, my computer has crumbs.
So I heard something the other day. I don't know if it's a thing that's been implemented yet or not. But you lived in California. So what was minimum wage in California when you were there?
I don't know, man. I didn't have a job that paid me minimum wage.
No,
so
I know.
Know
I just
it.
Figured you would know what it was.
No, I have no idea.
But I saw a bill, or someone talking about a bill. Again, I'm not getting into the politics of it. I'm just talking about it because it's funny. Talking about raising the minimum wage up to $20 an hour.
Oh, my God.
Bro.
In California?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's still like $8.50, maybe $9 here. It's like around $8 to $9 in Georgia.
I feel you're fully leaning into this. Like when I'm not talking, I lean away from the mic. No. Max like, no.
No. So I'm just super curious. How much do you think a freaking McChicken will cost?
Oh my God.
In a place where minimum wage
is
$20
an hour. Dude, I went to McDonald's today and I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a piece of garbo.
Was it?
Because I got a McDouble and a McChicken.
Did you make a
and
McGang
that's what
bang?
I had. Actually, didn't. I ate them separate. But
oh,
I had
what a loser.
Them, right?
Sometimes they hit so good.
McChickens are like $1.69 now.
Bro,
or something like that. Or $1.80 something.
They used to be $1.05.
They used to be 99 cents. That was on the dollar menu, dog.
True. Well, I mean after tax.
McDoubles are $2.65. Those both used to be on a dollar menu.
Yo.
Apparently meat's more expensive than chicken. Okay, what are you drinking?
Meat's more expensive than chicken? Guess what? Chicken is meat.
You know what I mean? Like
beef.
Brown meat. And by that I meant
brown.
Red meat. But
we got the brown meats. Totally different than the chicken meats, let me tell you. One goes cluck cluck, another goes moo moo. It's kind of like old McDonald. There's a farm, lots of animals. The browns, the chickens, and the goats.
They said I'm racist against meats. I said I just don't like the brown ones. None of the brown meats.
And I just mean the brown cows. The ones with the black and white spots, they're the best. Those are the traditional moo moos.
With the white milk, not the chocolate milk cows. Do you ever think you got chocolate milk from brown cows?
Have you seen... No, I'm not an idiot.
Have you seen the guy? That.
It's some gay dude. And I say gay because the way that he talks, I've never...
a flamboyant dude, yes.
A flamboyant man.
Who likes wiener.
Who is like vegan, and he's like, you know, I'm vegan, but I can drink strawberry milk.
That guy's gay.
I can,
that
guy's have gay. You seen this video?
Yeah.
I can it's drink like, strawberry milk because strawberry they come mouth. From strawberries. And it's like.
They come from strawberries.
Yo, I gotta find that video. I'm gonna look for it.
They come, you know, not cow milk. He puts M, it's like M-A-A-L-K. Malk.
I can't hear.
Have you ever talked to somebody who says Malk?
Yes.
Same people say pillow.
Yeah. Here we go.
It's vegan because it's strawberry milk and not like cow milk. You know what I mean?
So please tell me how you milk a strawberry.
I got nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? You need to watch
strawberry
parents,
milk,
man.
All right, what are you drinking? Because you have okay. this weird cloudy water, and I'm not sure if I...
you know what I mean? Anyways, it's called a Liquid IV.
Oh, yeah, I have those.
They're great. This one's Pina Colada.
Why you have that?
Because I haven't drank a lot of water today. I've had some...
You want to fast track your hydration?
I had a cup of OJ, and then I think that's it.
If you want to fast track your hydration, go to Liquid IV... sponsor of 1 to 2 views. I'm just kidding. It's not. I don't know how many people would sponsor us. Don't want to get sued.
Oh God.
By saying that they're a sponsor. It was a joke.
Can you get sued by that?
Like they talk about Trump way too often.
Brought to you by number 45,
Liquid IV.
Is he 45? I don't
they
even know.
Sponsor me. Let me tell you. They love Trump and I love them.
They put water back in my system. Water. I need water. Oh, wait. You have Liquid IV. That's so much better.
Okay. So I went to New York last week.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
Let me show you something. Again, something that would be great for the visual, for a video podcast, but we don't have it. I'm going to show Nate. God damn it.
You're going to show Mac, not Nate.
Nate, get out of here. You're not welcome here.
He is out of here.
Get out of here. Okay, I'm going to show you a picture of a place. My friend took me to a...
this PB&J ain't that bad.
No, it's just good.
It would be better with smooth butter, peanut butter, but it's not bad.
Dude, on a honey wheat, baby. Okay. So I went to...
Stop.
Well, I'm just swallowing. It sounds like that like puffer fish, you know what I'm talking about?
What are you talking about?
No way. Hold on.
Oh, wait. I know what you're talking about. He like makes weird noise as he's chomping on stuff.
So.
Come up with the most random shit.
My friend took me when I was in New York. He took me to a place. He's like, you got to try this donut shop. Best donut shop. I'm trying hard not to go Trump. Got to go to this donut shop. Best donut shop.
In New York.
It's a little place called Peter Pan, and I'm going to show you. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
But you know who makes good peanut butter?
We're not talking about peanut butter.
Peter Pan.
We can't do this ever again. This place look familiar to you?
I can't tell what the...
This is the counter. Don't swipe through.
Can I swipe
through? So we have a picture of like of a donut shop, and there's... like a lady standing behind the counter. She's wearing like the uniform is like green.
Is it the shawarma place?
Pink.
From Avengers?
No. What just happened to my screen? What the?
You got peanut butter on it,
dude. My phone is freaking the actual heck out, dude. I gotta show you another picture. I'm sorry. This is not entertaining.
Man.
People that are just listening, guys. If you want to skip ahead to Dune, I understand.
Wait, what? What are we doing?
So like, this is maybe better. I don't know. That's just a picture of a coffee cup. Here we go. Here's like a little video of the place.
Okay.
So.
I couldn't tell you what that's from.
Okay.
Obviously, they filmed. Nice. Right into the mic. Obviously, they filmed something there, right?
Yes. They did film something here. They filmed a little movie at this place called.
Oh.
Spider-Man. No Way Home. It is the donut shop that MJ works at the very, well, throughout the entire movie where they go and Ned and her and them meet up and they open up their letters for
college, and then at the very end when he goes to see her again, and he was going to tell her who he is, but he decided not to. Yeah, that's it. But I thought it was actually really cool.
You know, I was close.
You actually were close. You said a Marvel property.
A Marvel property based in New York.
Yeah. Well, it had to be based in New York, dog. I was in New York.
So it didn't have to be based in New York. You know how many things they film in Atlanta that are supposed to be in New York?
I know, but I feel like you're only going to New York unless you want it. Like, if you want it to be in New York, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I went there, and it was crazy because I walked in there, and I was like, I sat down, and I was like, wait, this place looks really familiar. Like, he had no idea.
Man.
And that's not why we were going.
You just put that together.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, this is from No Way Home, I think. And I looked it up, and I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, it's in Brooklyn, and it is amazing. It's great.
Brooklyn.
Love it.
Brooklyn.
So,
not Queens, huh?
No, not Queens. Brooklyn.
You know what's funny is I do that with Atlanta places, except I go, oh, wait, this was in that movie. No. I saw the movie, and I said, oh, wait, that's in Atlanta.
Just want one more chance. Are we back? Oh, we're good, guys. We're good. Sorry.
Sorry. Technical
difficulties. This is the problem when I get crumbs on my keyboard. I tried to wipe it off. It was on the space. Hey guys, we're back. So,
more technical difficulties.
There was a crumb on my keyboard, tried to wipe it off, paused it, started it again, and then Mac touched all the cords and everything freaked out. Had to completely reboot everything.
Oh gosh. Yeah,
you're
right.
We should just quit while we're ahead.
Oh, we were never ahead.
Okay, so we're full. We're done with our peanut butter jellies. Hold on.
Now we're done.
Wow.
And today, we're going to talk about Dune. We should get right into it. Because every time we talk about a movie, it always takes longer than we think. All right,
we
got to
start off with the most important detail.
The most important detail was the fact
that... No, there were no popcorn lids. I looked. That was the first thing I did when I got there was to see if they had any popcorn lids, because that would have been hilarious. But no, couldn't find any popcorn buckets.
Dune popcorn bucket. No, the most important thing is the fact that someone tried to race me on the way home.
What?
Yeah, on the way from the movie theater here. There's, like, that right lane after you pull out of the movie theater.
Yeah.
But then, like, when you get to the Waffle House, it turns into a turn lane.
Yeah.
So I was trying to, like, get over, and I'm right next to a guy. And so I start, like rev my engine to go quicker to get in front of him. And I kind of looked over to see if, like, if the car was slowing down or whatever.
Yeah.
If I could get over. But I think he saw me look at him and rev, and he thought, oh, we're racing. And he just goes, whoa, and takes off. I was like, that works. And then I just got into the lane.
Yeah, people are idiots. It makes no sense. Unless you're, like, in traffic and people are just cutting you off like crazy, there's no reason to keep someone from turning into your lane. Rude. But yeah, coming from that area, no one knows how to drive out there.
Hold on. Yeah, it was wild. So I just thought it was funny because I was like, I guess he wanted to race. He took off probably thinking, like, yeah, and then probably felt real stupid because he knew I wasn't trying to do that.
Hey, man. People do what they gonna do.
All right, so I was trying to keep everything on the hush-hush about your thoughts about this movie until the podcast, but your wife asked about it. You didn't even tell me if you liked it or not until she asked, and then you didn't want to ignore your
wife. I didn't.
But you were very calm and collected. You were like, yeah, it was good. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of the movie?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so done with sci-fi.
What?
I'm kidding. I loved it. I thought it was good. I thought it was a lot better than the first one.
How long has it been since you've seen the first one? I only saw it once in theaters.
I saw it online. I streamed it.
You never saw it in theaters?
Mm-mm. Unless I saw it with you.
No, I think I saw it with Nate.
Yeah, I didn't see it in theaters.
This is before you were on the podcast.
Oh, wow, that's an old, old movie.
It was 2001.
One, yeah. Man, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it online. No, the first one was hard because, all right, so I have a weird kind of relationship with Dune. I have tried to watch the, is it 82?
Yeah.
The 82 film. Probably about three times. And I fall asleep in the same
spot,
like every single time.
Yeah, I hear it's not good.
It's just, I mean, it's a victim of the times, you know?
Yeah.
It's not enough budget to do what they wanted to do. The visual effects weren't just that type of, yeah, you just couldn't do it. You know what I mean? And the entire time watching it, when I first saw it, was like, they're just ripping off Star Wars. And then I realized,
this is before Star Wars.
This is before Star Wars. You know, you got a guy with a, you know, a very special heritage is, you know, living on a desert planet with these sand people everywhere. And they've got powers where they can tell people. They can do some kind of mind trick to him, you know, and
there's a guy who's having visions about what might happen in the future, and he's scared of them and trying to still step into this role of the chosen one. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of
like George Lucas should have got sued.
Like, yeah, they were. So I was looking at a lot of comparisons, and I saw somebody saying a lot of things, saying like, yeah, there's a lot of comparisons, even the guy who created Dune did kind of call him out, saying like, you copied my stuff.
The writer of the book or
the book
director?
I think the book. Writer of the book. Yeah.
Which I found out actually last week. There are a few Dune books.
Yeah.
Like this part one and part two are just the first
one book. Yeah.
And then there's like the next one's called like Dune Messiah or something. And
yeah.
Follows up basically after this, like 5-10 years after this. Which is pretty cool. Because they give you a little bit of a cliffhanger at the end of this movie. No spoilers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the third book is about. But if it doesn't pick up right after this one, then what?
Well, we'll talk about the third book after this. After we get into like the details, because I don't want to spoil it yet. But no. It's a weird movie. It was hard to watch, and it's just, I think it's just suffers from the era.
The old one.
Yeah, it suffers from the era and it doesn't keep my attention, which is really strange because I love like early 80s cult films. But no, this is way more interesting. It's just there's a lot of politics involved.
Yeah.
Which some people like that, some people don't, until you actually are having things explained to you sometimes, because I had to be, you know, babied about it and had to explain it to me.
Which one?
The first one.
Oh.
In the first one.
Yeah. What? Oh, the first of the new movies.
Yeah, even in the old, like, film, it was just like, I don't know what
I remember watching the new one, and I was, maybe I saw it twice. I can't remember. Either way.
I think the first one probably does a little bit better. But I think it also has the handicap of people knowing what the original one was. And then there was a miniseries that came out.
Yeah.
In, like, 2000. But people already knowing what it was, and so them retelling the story is a little bit easier, because a lot of the people viewing it are going to know the context.
I don't think so. The first new movie?
I'm saying, like, people that are fans of Dune.
Yeah, if you're fans, but...
But newcomers...
I feel like there's a lot of newcomers.
Oh, absolutely, but...
Because I feel like, yeah, the first movie's so old and wasn't great, so it never became anything huge.
Yeah, yeah.
To where, unless you're part of that group. But anyways, this movie, Dune 2, I will say that it is... I'm surprised at how much I like this movie. Like, I am shocked at how much I like this movie. I liked it better than the first one. Mm-hmm. I want to go back and watch the first one, because part of me is like, maybe I'd like it better if I rewatched it.
Yeah.
I didn't hate the first one. I think I remember really liking it, but it wasn't like anything to be like, oh my God. Now, there were some really cool visuals, some cool things going on. It's in top, like a top tier for sci-fi, but it wasn't in like my favorites of all time for sci-fi.
Right. And
this movie.
Yeah.
Has broken into my favorites of all time for sci-fi. That's nice. How much I like this movie.
Wow.
And I think that if I go back and watch the first one, I might have a different appreciation for it. But this movie, touching all the bases as far as like acting, incredible.
Nailed it.
Visual effects, incredible. Story, incredible. there. So now I'm going to pick out and be a little more descriptive without spoiling.
Yeah, there's a lot more. There's a lot more things established and a lot more things. I don't want to say explained, but just they seem more.
Right.
You're rooting for people more in this than you are in the other one. More the other one's yeah. just more of like a things are just happening. And
I really follow a couple people who do movie reviews. A lot of people are saying this movie is fantastic.
I haven't watched any reviews about it, so
I kind of wish I didn't, just because I want my thoughts to be my own.
Yeah.
But anytime I'm pulling off somebody else, I will try to reference that. So one of the guys that I watch who does movie reviews that I watch a lot of, he was like, yeah, unfortunately, I was bored during this movie.
The second one?
Both of them. He said the first movie and this movie had the same issues. I was just bored, I guess, because it was long and he didn't like the pacing. I completely disagree. Like, this movie, in my opinion, did a very good job, like you said, at balancing the politics and the action and everything that's actually going on to the, with the characters. Like, the political part of it was interesting to me because it affected the main character, as it should. If you're having something political in a movie, it should affect the main character and the main storyline, clearly. But this affects what's happening politically affects the main characters so much. And it's done that it makes sense and it doesn't lose me, but also it's done in an interesting way because it's done in a different world where crazy stuff is happening. Yeah. It's like, yeah, well, these people are taking over, like in the first movie, like a group took over the spice productions, the Atreides, the House of Atreides took over a spice production on this planet from, and then the Harkonnens came in and like killed them or whatever. So like you have these planets doing different things and that's the political part, but when you get to see how they do it, you're interested because they're so different from each other that it's like, oh, this faction's coming in to take over this, and you're like, how are they going to do it? And the visuals are different over here. It's just the way they present politics is actually engaging in this movie, which is so rare.
Yeah, and there's big reveals in it. They're kind of like really crazy, and that's the thing is, I think in the first film, you're really like attached to like Oscar Isaac. His character and stuff, and so he's kind of the way you kind of see it is like he's kind of such a big role in it. It takes away from Timothy Chalamet's character of Paul, and so you're kind of focused on him, and like Jason Momoa steals a lot of the scenes he's in.
You think so?
I think so, just because he's Jason Momoa.
Again, I haven't seen this in so long.
He's like very charismatic and stuff, and so obviously he's just. He's got the recognition.
I will say that some of the complaints for this movie and the first one was that Timothée Chalamet is kind of a skinnier dude and kind of boyish looks. He doesn't look super old or anything like that. And so people were saying, and I'm calling out Nate. Nate has said this too about these movies, that it's a little bit hard to buy him in a role where he is supposed to be. Whenever he's like fighting somebody, he's like, can you really take him down?
Yeah.
People are saying like he's supposed to be a commanding, or he's supposed to eventually step into like.
He's a warrior.
Right. Right. He's supposed to step into this warrior kind of role, especially you see that towards the end of the first movie.
It's hard to believe that though when Zendaya could kick his ass. I'm just saying.
And people are saying like it's hard to buy with it. I disagree. And they talk about in the book too how, again, this is from another review, but they talk about in the book, how he's like 15 in the book. Now, in this one, it seems he is a little bit older.
Yeah.
And by the end of the book, he's 17. And they explain that he is smaller and a little more scrawny than some of the other people, even for somebody his age.
He's also trained, though. Like, that's one thing that, and they go into it a little bit with, like, Josh Brolin's character. He's his, like, trainer, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the character name he's playing. I can really only remember, like, what's his name? Duncan Idaho, because it's Jason Momoa. They go into his background of being a trained elite,
right.
being able
to fight.
Yeah, since a little boy, like he's just that's what the high end families do,
right?
It's not like he's unknowledgeable of that stuff.
I watched like a recap and some scenes from the first movie, and I watched the scene at the beginning. Where his mom, who is a Bene Gesserit, is trying to teach him their ways of being able to, like, the Jedi mind trick, basically.
Yeah.
And, like, they have a specific voice and how they use their pitch and stuff to, like, control people and make them do stuff. And he was like, can you pass, I don't remember what it was, like, the water or something at, like, the dinner table or breakfast table. This is, like, the beginning of the first movie. And she's like, make me do it, and makes him use his voice. And I watched that clip, and the reverb and the like tone and pitch they use to make it sound like so commanding and threatening. It's like, oh, like it's, and they did that at the beginning of the first movie. And even when he did it, I was like, oh shit. Like they made him seem, even if he's not physically super
intimidating.
Yeah. Intimidating. Yeah. They made it look like he's on his way to becoming intimidating in some form or manner. And I will say that as this, without spoiling, as this movie progresses, the second movie is really him coming into a bigger role than he has in the first one.
Yeah.
And especially because, I mean, you see this in the trailers, the sick-ass outfits they're wearing with, like, the capes and the padding and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even look at him as a really scrawny dude. Like, he looks like a normal...
He's got body armor on.
And honestly, I bet he got some... He gained some weight for the second movie. Probably. I would assume. I'd have to look that up and see. But I don't know. I just don't see the... That comparison.
I think in cinema, I kind of don't think about that stuff anymore, really. I mean, yeah, if you're playing a character who is jacked, it's good to be jacked.
I mean, if you had like someone like really tiny and scrawny and he was fighting The Rock and he beat him, we'd be like, okay.
Yeah, like, yeah. And but also, like, I also hate the trope of taking a really like jacked character like The Rock and having somebody who looks way, way less intimidating taking them out.
That's what I'm saying.
I know, within reason. But like when you have Batista up there and this other character who's playing his like younger brother, I mean, this might be a little spoiler, but it's like,
I don't think it is. I don't think that's spoiler. Like he, I mean, don't say what happens to them.
I mean, I'm not gonna say like what happens in the end, but like at one point his younger brother, who is a smaller, skinnier guy, who's like doesn't have,
he's trying to be more intimidating than him.
They make him 10 times more intimidating in many different ways. But I mean, considering, like, their roles and stuff, I kind of don't see it. Like, I don't know. I had a problem with that. He kind of gets the upper hand on him with one little thing. But, no, but overall, though, this sequel, I think, does a lot of justice. And it builds up the story. It's like a straight continuation. And I like that for part twos and sequels to movies when they're trying to tell a big overarching story. I hate long, long time jumps.
Yeah.
And so it was just good continuation.
Yeah, and the other thing I will say too about like Timothée Chalamet's character getting a little bit more into the acting, when his character is put in the position where his character changes, then that's not a spoiler. He has a good character arc, as every movie should.
Mm-hmm.
But that character arc is so well developed, in my opinion, with the way that they show it through the lapse of time and the things that he is learning and progressing in, that when he gets to specific points in this movie where he has to do certain things, I believe it. Like, I'm fully in, and I really, really, really commend the acting of that, because it wouldn't work. Now, again, I don't look at him as a small dude. I think he's a normal-sized dude. So when you're in that middle space, when you're normal and you're not huge, your acting chops have to be there to make yourself be perceived in a certain way.
Yeah, he has a commanding presence.
I never thought I would say this, but after seeing this movie, he is climbing up onto my top list of actors. Like, I was I was so impressed by this movie in so many ways.
You're going to make me want to watch Wonka now. Look at you.
I didn't like Wonka, but anyways.
I never watched it because it did not look good. No,
but just the emotional beats of this movie, I thought, were so well done by them.
Especially at the end.
The one thing I wish I did in this movie, which is kind of wild, is I wish I cried, because I love crying in movies. Because that's when I'm like, you hit me. But there wasn't a ton of places I feel like in this movie where I felt like I needed to, but there are emotional moments, and I buy into it wholeheartedly.
I think so, too. I don't think there's ever been a... Typically, in action sci-fi movies, I think it's when there's a character on the line.
Right.
And
I mean, there are characters on the line.
They're on the line, I guess, but really, not really. Not like the way that they've been presented. I think this is just, there's not a lot of that in this. All right. Okay. I'm trying not to get into it. But I am super invested into these people.
Yeah.
For sure. I think it could use way more of that. Maybe it doesn't need
more,
it.
More
maybe
emotion.
It doesn't. Maybe it doesn't need it. If you're wanting to go to a movie to
make
cry.
Make us cry. And then the last thing I'm going to really praise about this movie, get as specific as I can.
Visually?
Is world building. Visual. Okay, I'll quickly say this. Name one time the visuals were like, ew, that's CGI. You can't,
can
you? Oh, you
can?
Oh,
I can.
Dang it.
I can.
What?
All right, so Well, get it'll be spoilers.
There's not a scene very often, right?
There's one scene where there's like a Colosseum thing going on, and there's a crowd, and I'm like,
I didn't think that looked bad at all.
That crowd is copy and pasted, copy and paste, copy and paste, copy and paste.
But they were like blurred in the background. You couldn't even tell.
When they're sharpened up and they're focused, it's like this is some. They're all supposed to look the same.
Oh my, you're blowing my mind. I totally disagree.
But everything else is like so perfect,
dude. This is like maybe the best CGI movie I've ever seen, especially as of recent, dude. Like,
yeah.
So, then the last thing is the world building. You get me really invested into something if you can really pick apart the like tiny nuances of specific things and actually show them and explain how this is happening, all this.
Yeah, and how things are affecting other things.
Yeah, like how do these people, the Fremen, the native people of this planet, of
the sand people,
how do they live and what different tools do they use? Yeah. There is one specific moment where they're using something. We just got into spoilers about it, but I just love all the little tiny elements in this movie that really show the world building. It's not like, oh, and then this happens and they fight these people and they just kind of win. It's like they're using very specific tactics, very specific items. That's like, I never would have thought of that, and it makes it so much more interesting because now I'm invested as
and
into
they put a lot of effort into giving them a culture.
Yes.
Which is like one of my favorite parts. And within their culture, there are subcultures.
Right.
Which is really cool too. But we can get into that later.
It's just very in-depth, and I appreciate that. Because there's so much shit writing nowadays that it's like, oh, it just is that way because it is. And you're like, what? I don't think I've said anything bad yet. There's one thing that I don't think I can get into a lot until we spoil. But one of the main plot points of this movie is... And this is not a spoiler. This is in trailers. The Fremen are fighting other people. They are fighting other factions.
Mm-hmm.
You see the lots of fighting and stuff in the trailers.
Yep.
There are things that happen in the fights that are really cool, but I sit back and I think...
That's not how that would happen.
That's not how that would happen. I mean, that's fine. That's how you feel about it. I'm curious as to why. But it's more of... It raises questions as to why there were issues in the first place. If the fights are happening the way that they are, I go, why was there even a problem in the first place? Because it should have been clear cut if this is how I'm seeing the fights go. That's as much as I can say without spoiling it.
Okay, okay.
But I give it a pass because it's epic. 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10?
That's how I'm going. I love this movie.
I'm going to give it an 8. 8.5.
I just saw this movie 2 days ago, and I'm seeing it again.
I mean, I always get the second scene viewing with you.
Sorry,
it's okay. No, but I maybe if I watched again, I might be able to bump it up, just because there's so much to take in, just by viewing it once. But I was gonna do an eight.
You can
convince me to make it higher by the end of this, but I'm gonna go with an 8.
All right, spoiler time. Now there's fresh on my
mind. Okay, I'm just going to get our crappy stuff out of the way.
Yeah, I was going to say my crappy thing is right on my mind.
Okay, okay.
So
I hope it's the same thing as mine, because I hate this part of this movie.
No, it's the fight thing that I was talking about.
Oh yeah, talking to me about it.
So the advanced technology that the Fremen have are allowing them to completely decimate. Any time they've had any battles in this, they're completely decimating the Harkonnen faction. The Harkonnen family, because they're like, the great houses.
Yeah.
You have the Atreides, you have the Harkonnens, whatever. So the Harkonnens are like the bad guys in this, mostly. And the Fremens are basically completely destroying them. Now, the reason this is an issue is because, now let me be clear, the world building part I was talking about. There's the little desert mouse that comes up in one scene, and it comes up this little tiny stick popping out of the ground. Yeah. But you see this little filter that's like going in and out and in, and it's going.
And then you hear a little muffled voice go, get out of here.
Yeah, and I'm like, what? I had no idea what that was.
I was curious if it was a snorkel.
I had no. The first time I watched it, I didn't hear the muffled voice. So I was like, what is this little thing? And then a giant spice collection device that the Harkonnens are using, and a bunch of the Harkonnen patrol around it is slowly approaching all these little sticks that are poking out of the ground with little ventilators. And then all of a sudden, all these Fremen sand people pop out of the ground. They're using it to breathe from underneath the sand. So cool. That's what I mean by like world building of all these little things that they use.
And
so cool. They fight all these things.
I like their little. I like their little like water siphoners. You basically plug it into a human.
Oh, and they just drain them for their water.
Drain them for their water.
Yeah, it's wild. And, So this scene, you have Paul Atreides, or dude, he has three names. Paul Atreides. What's the pillar? What means the base of a pillar? I can't even remember.
I forget. I don't know.
This is so bad.
It sounds like it's Arab.
All of it does. Anyway, so Paul and
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
Johnny, are fighting in this thing, and they're like hiding behind the legs of this like sand crawler. And really cool scene. One of my favorite scenes actually in the entire movie is this.
Yeah.
And they're firing on this like helicopter thing.
It's called an ornithopter.
They're firing on the thopter. And so
the dragonfly.
And obviously it's like shielded and stuff. And they're like, well, we have to get them to shoot because when they shoot, the shield goes down. Anyways, they do that. They shoot it. Cool. It falls to the ground. This is one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie where she's sprinting through the legs of the thing right after she shoots down the thopter. And she's giddily laughing. She goes, ha, ha, ha. And then you see, boom, behind.
Is she laughing?
Yeah, and it's so good.
Is it like a purposeful laugh?
Yes.
Like,
okay. No, she's laughing. She's like, that was awesome. She's laughing, and then it hits the ground into an explosion and epic music.
You made me think it was like they didn't cut it out.
No. But the funny thing is you laughed. So maybe you don't remember it. But
I was laughing.
She laughed, and then the thing hit the ground, and it's perfect. I don't even want to say comedic timing, but almost.
I was laughing because I was like, oh, that's kind of badass. That explosion
exactly
looks sick.
And that's kind of like what she was feeling. It's like in Shane Gillis's Netflix special where he's like, the Americans, we're terrible. When we kill people, we're like, yeah, mow them down. Clear. But he's like, all the terrorists are... They blow up one truck in 6 months, and they're, just like losing their mind. He's like, I can relate to that. But, and it's such a cool visual, and the music, and I love that. But then right when they run away, there's one of their Fremen people up on the hill with a giant gun laser.
A giant, like, laser beam that cuts straight through it.
Through the entire ginormous sand crawler that's collecting all this spice.
And
it just blows up. And then you see all these into a massive explosion. And then you see later like a time lapse of them like doing a bunch of these missions, taking down these things. And you see that laser take out multiple of these giant sand crawlers. And I'm like, one shot of this gun is completely obliterating the ginormous sand. Why are we sending all these Fremen in to take all these people on foot and then like just blow up the thing?
Just it's shoot such it a from massive a mile away.
Explosion. Yeah. And also, if it's that easy to take them down, in all these situations, why? Now, this is from another reviewer. Again, he said this too, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Where he said the same gripe that I'm having right now, which is, why is it so, why did the Harkonnens even, how do they even take over the planet in the first place? Like, if they have that much advanced technology and all their fights is, and at the end, when they have the massive fight and it happens pretty quickly and they completely obliterate them, they're like, how is that so easy? Now, I will give the end fight a little more credit because they had to go down to the south and recruit like hundreds of thousands of people, just like whatever his Josh Brolin character was, where he was like, yo, you're only 200 of these people. Like, there's like, you know, rumors going around that there's like millions because you guys are destroying everything like so efficiently. If you had a couple thousand, you could take over the whole planet. And they're like, we would, but we got to get to the south to do that. They do. Then it's easy. That's fine. I get it. But all the other little scuffles that they're just, they got a gun that just goes bink and just blows up something the size of a skyscraper. You're like, a little too easy. Yeah. But it's so fucking epic that I'm like, this fine. It's fine.
I mean, if you think about it, they're technically considered like the natives of the of the planet. And I mean, I'm sure at some point there were, you know, much more advanced civilizations of humans coming there and doing things, and then they've basically got their technology. I guess I would assume that would be the issue. But again, that's also me nitpicking and writing for the authors.
No, but also it doesn't matter how they got it. It's the fact they have all that advanced technology that's so powerful.
They use it terribly?
No, it's just how did the Harkonnens ever get control over their planet? Because they were oppressed people who had to, you know, who are living amongst their own planet, and people are coming to harvest spice, yeah. and they hate the Harkonnens because
they probably didn't have that technology when they came there for in the first place.
Then how would they have gotten it? Maybe they stole it from the Harkonnens.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but again, like you said, right? We're writing for them at this point.
I don't think that's a big issue. More of like how they use it is my issue. But even then, it makes for cool visuals.
It's
and
so
whatever.
Cool.
It is super cool. And
all right, what's your big problem?
I have two big problems. All right, there's a scene where the emperor.
We gotta pull up character names, man. We do this all the time.
I know, it's Vladimir something.
Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
Are you talking about the Baron?
The Baron Vladimir, whatever.
Just the Baron.
The Baron. We can call him the Baron. He's like hosting some gladiator event for his son, who's like kind of one of the big bads in this.
His nephew.
Nephew.
Sorry, I've seen this twice. So
oh yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. It is his nephew.
His nephew, who is Fade Rotha.
Yeah, and he, by the way, he does a great Skarsgård impression.
Yeah, I watched it. Dude, I'm telling you, like, in the last 2 days, I've watched, like, interviews behind the scenes. I'm so into it.
They do a really good job making him, all right, this person is definitely related to that guy.
He said that that wasn't, like, no one told him to do that, and that it was a surprise, and that he just watched a bunch of Skarsgård, like, movies, and showed up on set first day. And started talking, and Skarsgård was like, what the hell? Like, it was so
That's
good.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. But, yeah, they have, like, it's his birthday, and so, like, what he gets to do for his birthday is kill three people or something.
Right.
In, like, a gladiatory-style thing where they're, like, injured and poisoned, so he's got the upper hand, and he's got a shield on, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, that whole scene, all the crowd is CGI'd. It's or like bad CGI because it's copy and paste and it looks like it's copy and paste. Looks like
I
I'm watching MLB 2K15 or whatever. Like in like they're showing like the crowd and the whole crowd is like all doing the same thing at the same time. Like it doesn't make any sense.
They were doing like a chant thing.
They were well even when it's not that like you could tell.
Maybe I agree. I was so enthralled in what was happening.
Well,
in the
when
action,
you watch it for a third time,
look.
When you watch it for a third time, go look at that. Also,
I remember looking
curious,
and being like, that looks pretty good for a crowd.
Curious. I mean, they looked good. It's just a lot of the same people. Then again, they were all bald.
That's what I'm saying. They're all bald white people. Like,
what was the deal with that scene? Because they use some like lighting thing where it's just black and white.
Oh,
I
my God.
No
okay. Well, if we want to get into the stuff we liked.
I mean, I didn't mind it. I got one more thing. We can get back to that. I was really curious about that. I'm like, is that just like the planet that they're on?
Yeah. It's no, let's that? Just go, let's talk about it because we're here.
Okay, yeah.
The planet has a black sun, and so it works completely differently. Because that's what he says. He says, our black sun, blah, blah, blah. It's like one line in the movie.
Oh, okay.
So what I love about this is the fact that the visuals of this movie are so astounding already, but like the cinematography and visuals, and the fact that they were able to show us a different planet that actually looked different, not just from like plant life, but like the way the sun works.
Yeah.
Was so visually interesting. And to me, it's like you'd think, okay, we're having a whole black and white segment in this movie. That shouldn't work, and it works so well.
Kind of
to
explains
me.
Why their skin's so white.
Right. Pale. And what's interesting is I actually wrote this down, I think, when we were watching it the second time. I wrote a couple of notes. But the Bene Gesserit people go to meet basically the nephew to see if he can be controlled because they want him to be the next person.
Yeah, they
want to
have
planet.
Political power and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're in their black robes, and they're in the hallway. And the robes are black, but then when they enter out into the sun, they turn to white.
Yeah,
it's like the sun either turns black to white and white to black, like it reverses it.
Yeah,
or I kind of like this theory
super
better.
High contrasts everything.
Right, it's like unless it's almost like because this planet is so evil and dark and oozy and gross,
like in Thor.
Right, sure, but
Love and Thunder.
But this one did it so much better.
It takes all the joy out of everything.
But it's like you haven't seen true black and darkness unless you've been on this planet. So either it switches black and white because they're sun, or the things that are black are so black, it's like the darkest of dark, that only things that are like made on that planet black is true darkness. Otherwise, it's just going to show up as like white. And that's just a theory. But it's so visually interesting to me.
It is visually interesting. I like it because like, it
atmosphere.
Shows you how it gives a sci-fi element, but also like kind of like a cool reasoning behind it.
Yeah, but a cool reasoning to it, and it invokes such an emotion.
It's like science fiction scientific.
Yes.
Interesting.
I loved it.
Yeah, cool. oh, gosh. What's his freaking name? The Emperor, played by Dag.
It literally, he's just the emperor.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to remember the actor's name.
Oh, Christopher Walken?
Christopher Walken. This dude, I cannot take serious in anything that he does because of his stupid voice. You could just do it. No matter how he talks, he sounds like somebody doing an impression of him.
I disagree. Oh, now let me say why.
I
think you're biased only because I have heard Christopher Walken impressions, but I've never really seen anything he's been in, which is crazy. I know, whatever.
So I never had a viewpoint of him. Yeah. When I watched it the first time, first of all, didn't even know it was him because I'm so... Because
he's old.
But I'm also... That's someone I've never kept up with. I've heard his name. I've heard impressions of him. But when he talked, not once did it ever throw me off. Not once.
I think also in some of the comedy films he's been in, I feel like they use his acting to add comedic effect to things.
His voice, you mean?
Yeah, his voice. So like if you watch like Joe Dirt, Balls of Fury, things like that. But even if you watch things where he's like serious, he's got some like, I think, mobster movies or he's in, it's a movie I love, Catch Me If You Can, with Leonardo DiCaprio. He plays his dad. Like, mm-hmm. No matter what, he sounds like someone doing an impression of him. That's my issue. It's like he's the emperor and he's like, who's this Majul Adin guy? I'm going to kill him.
He didn't sound like that.
To me, that's what it is.
I'm telling you, take someone that's like never seen Christopher Walken, he would be perfectly fine because that was me. But
let him play the emperor from Star Wars. You will know the power of the dark side, Joe Dirt.
I will say you're not alone, though. Again, hate to keep bringing this up, but in one of the reviews I watched, regardless, okay. He said, they're like, the weirdest casting, though, is Christopher Walken as the emperor. It seemed just so like last minute that they just picked him and threw him in there. Like, you couldn't find anybody else.
Spice, baby.
He never sounds like that in the movie, I'm telling you. I'll die on that hill. So those were the two things, was Christopher Walken.
Sugar, spice.
And the one CGI nice. Crowd that you didn't like.
Yeah. Which, that's being super nitpicky. I think probably the Christopher Walken thing is a little bit more of a justified, probably, complaint. But I think his career has ruined him to where I can't. I'm trying to sound like an a-hole about it. I think his career probably has ruined it. Think of like just someone like maybe Jim Carrey might be one of those kind of people. It's like I can't take him seriously. Same thing with Adam Sandler. I cannot take him seriously. It's just hard to see him in a serious role. Even the stuff he has done that's been serious, I'm like, where's the funny part? You know, I'm still stoked with like it's interesting the way that they back to like the sand people. I keep forgetting what they're called.
Fremen.
The Fremen.
The Fremen.
You were talking about like their tech is cool and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think the way that they have with like the culture they've kind of created for them, where they are like legit survivors out in the desert, which on a desert planet where there's zero water, like natural occurring water, to the point where they're like, Lady Jessica is pregnant, and she's like, you know, put off by something, so she's about to vomit, and he's like,
hold it in, don't let it go,
no, and then she throws up.
And you saw the guy that just ran over and started licking it up. No, I'm just kidding.
I was about to say, I don't remember. No, so much so that, like, there's another scene where she cries a tear.
And
right?
Stilgar, Javier Bardem's character.
Yeah, goes to her and he's like...
The tear and licks it. It's like, don't ever give away your water.
Yeah.
Not even for the dead.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, dude, that's crazy.
and they have that whole, like, underwater, like, temple that's dedicated to the fluids of dead people.
Yeah, it's just all water from the dead.
It's all water from the dead. It's just that's the stuff they come up with. That is sick. It's like the cool concepts. I mean, I don't know what's in the books for that kind of stuff. And I don't know if it's in like the older movie, but if that was created for this movie.
Right.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Speaking of like Lady Jessica, I always was on the fence of like, is she being evil or what?
During the movie, you said, I can't tell if she's supposed to be a bad or not.
Yeah.
And I wrote down a note about that.
Like, because he's got a destiny, which, like, so her son's got a destiny, which he's got to fulfill. Paul's got a destiny. He's got the visions of it. He's got to do it. And she is, like, you know, guiding him along that and pushing him towards that. But they make her seem like such a villainous.
They make her seem like an evil witch.
An evil witch. I mean, technically. that's what she was, like, becoming. Some evil priestess.
Drinking the worm piss. Not actual piss, but that's what they called it as a joke in the movie. But is it? It is interesting because a huge part of this movie is, like, a big conflict in this movie is the idea of, it's like a religion slash control conversation going on. Because you have Stilgar, who's like, oh, he's the Messiah.
Yeah.
He is the guy we've been waiting for.
Yeah, and like half of their crew feels that way.
And half of them feel that way, and then half of them are like, none of us believe this. But then towards the end, almost everyone believes it except for Chani. Yep. Which, by the way, her name is C-H-A-N-I, Chani. But they always say it like Johnny. Like, Johnny. I'm like, I hear Johnny so many times. Yeah, yeah. That's my other nitpick. You got to learn to enunciate.
Bro, it's an alien language.
Hey, know. What's up, Johnny? You're hot today. Like, it's like, dude, that's a girl. What are you?
Jeez. No, but yeah, it's weird because there's also like a path of like, all right, I know what I must do. Is it the right thing, though?
Right.
Too, which is that battle that keeps happening because he's had his vision since the first film of him leading a holy war. Mm-hmm. And being the leader in it and participating. And he's like, that's not me. I have no stake in anything of that. And everything keeps happening. And he's like, keeps getting pushed. He's like, no, I'm not going to go with this.
Well, because his first vision was of Chani. And he was like, I keep seeing this girl, like this beautiful girl. And then at the end of the first movie, he meets her. But something that they talk about is that, like, he has visions, but they don't always play out exactly the way that you see them.
Yeah.
So in the first movie, he has certain visions, but they play out a little bit differently. He actually has the ability to change them in some degree. So even in this movie, Chani is like up on a hill watching her home get blown up and destroyed. He runs up to her and her face is like melting.
Yeah.
Then he wakes up from that and that's happening. She's standing, watching everything exploding. He runs up, but her face isn't melting.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like there's little pieces, and I think he doesn't know what to trust in his visions.
Also, after he there's a scene, basically he's one of his vision things in like one of the whole destiny things that he's got to drink the blue liquid, the Baja Blast, and it'll open up his mind completely to the visions and everything, and he'll be able to see everything.
Because his mom was like, you must, after she drank it, she's like, you gotta drink it.
Do it.
He's like, you gotta hit this.
Do it.
But after he does that and everything,
you don't
and,
know the power. Of the worm piss.
Of the worm Baja Blast. No, I don't even know where the hell.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what I was talking about.
One of the visions, he's going to drink the goo.
Yeah, and then so basically he, by drinking the goo and going through that whole thing, which is part of the prophecy.
Yep.
He fully awakens to seeing his visions and everything, and he can see, by doing so, he has to know the past as well. And he learns about his origins, where his father actually wasn't his father. It's actually...
No, his father is his father. His mother was the Baron's daughter. So she's Harkonnen. So no. Which means he's half Harkonnen.
Oh, I thought I thought that she bore Harkonnen's child.
No.
You need to look that up, because I think I'm right.
Anyways, seen it twice, I promise. It even shows...
Yeah, because he calls him father.
No, he says grandfather.
Oh, he says grandfather?
Because it shows the clip when he's like, you were born, and it shows a baby, and then it shows the Baron looking down at his child, and he said, you are the daughter of the Baron.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
Anyways.
And that's when he said, did father know that you were Harkonnen? And she goes, I didn't even know until I drank the piss.
But it gives me he goes through this thing describing, he's like, I see all these different possibilities of what can happen, and it made me think of like the time stone thing with
Doctor Strange, and he says in most of them the villains our enemies win, but there is a narrow path for us.
Yeah.
So like that's the point, is he sees these visions, and he doesn't know what to trust and what not to trust. Before he drinks, and then once he drinks and his eyes are open and he's like, oh,
he can distinguish.
Not all my visions can be real, but I can kind of guide. And that's when he like flips the switch and he's like, you know what? I am the savior. I'm gonna save you guys, because that's kind of like what he believes is the only way.
Yeah.
And that's when he gets emotional, because then he, like...
He knows the only way to get his revenge and then to save them is to do this thing.
Take the emperor's daughter's hand in marriage so he can take up the throne.
Right.
And so right before he does that, and that's the best emotional part, Johnny, he's like, Zendaya, I will love you until my last breath. And immediately after, he goes, I want her hand in marriage. And she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she's like, what?
Yeah. So, but going back to that, it's interesting because she's the only one that throughout the entire movie, everyone else starts to believe that he is like the chosen one. What they call the voice from the outside world. I can't remember what they call it. Their language is so hard to remember. But Muad'Dib, that is the mouse.
Muad'Dib
is the what the little mouse is.
The kangaroo mouse.
But again, he has like three names.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they all believe that he's a chosen one. And they all kind of come around except for Chani. And the first time I watched it, I was like, why is she being so harsh on him? Because he's trying to save her people. But it's a little more understanding. Watching it again, she says to him in one of the scenes, like, I will always love you as long as you, like, stay who you are. And I think she's thinking that it's the idea of power, right? She said that he, like, I thought you didn't just want power. And so now I think that she thinks he is going in it for the power. Because this whole time
Paul
he's like.
Paul Muad'Dib Atreides.
Yeah, we know those two. There's another name.
Alzul some Atreides. I don't know.
Anyways, doesn't matter. But because he keeps saying, I'm not the chosen one. Like, that's not me. Even to her. He's like, but I just want them to believe it so I can help you guys fight. Mm-hmm. But then when he, like, fully accepts it, that's when she's like, this is insane. But it's an interesting conversation because it's a conversation that happens a lot in our real world, which is, there's a lot of people that believe in a religion and are fully bought into it.
Right.
And then there's a lot of people that are like, that's not real. It's people who are creating this religion to have control over you. And that's what this is about and what she believes. She's like, this religion and this chosen one thing didn't even come from the Fremen. It came from the Bene Gesserit. They put this on them. Or it's their fable or fairy tale story that, you know, they've decided to believe, some of them. But is that true? Because it makes you question, because then he really did drink this stuff. We see him as an audience having these visions, and most of them are coming true. So it's like, maybe she is the one in the wrong.
Right.
But I think they also want you to see the way that he takes power and start to be kind of afraid of the way he is asserting his power, because it seems a little forceful. He's turning into like more of a power grab kind of guy. I don't know. It's interesting. How do you feel about it?
Authoritarian.
Do you feel that way? Like, how did you feel about it?
I mean, he definitely doesn't want to. I mean, I don't know. Because I'm on the fence of whether or not he wants to be a leader, right?
Yeah.
Or more of, or like, does he want to just get what he wants, which is revenge for his family, killing of his father, or is it just? Or does he want to just lead these people? It's a lot of things that are up in the air. But, like, yeah, once he flips the switch, like you said, he becomes very focused and driven. He's like, you know what? I'm going to do this. So I think it's easy to see him get very I don't want to say he's not tyrannical, because, you know, it's not. But then again, he is very my way or the highway, because we've got to get this done. But still, he's not a bad guy.
Right.
He's never doing any kind of evil deeds with the stuff that he's doing.
Yeah. But you can even see, like, the way that his mother tries to convince everybody else, too, and the way she's very...
Oh, she is,
authoritarian.
But she's also manipulative.
Right. So that's the interesting thing, is because what he has become is what she wants him to become. So you're like, is this a good thing? It seems like they're teetering on this edge of like... He's right at the tip of being this leader, but he could go right over the edge and take all of that for power and control.
Right.
If he is not careful. I think it's just a very interesting insight into, like, people who do gain power, especially in war and politics, where once you get to a certain level, you have to remember what you're actually doing it for. And I think they leave off of this movie of kind of putting you in a place of, what is he going to do next? Because he's gaining that power so quickly, you kind of start to become a little bit worried for him.
So, yeah, in the second book, it's called Dune Messiah, and it's all about 10 years or 15 years or something after that event, this movie.
They can't do that. I will be so upset.
I know, but it's basically about him kind of being the new emperor.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers.
Don't spoil too much. I'm actually like, no, don't want to know a lot
I
about
mean,
the book.
And it's just kind of like him, and then kind of the aftermath of everything, and like how people come to the grips of him ruling, like kind of the galaxy.
Hmm.
Like that's not details. I mean, that's I think the overarching like premise of the book. I don't know. I'd have to actually look into it. But who knows what happens with that?
It seems like whether maybe if they did make a book in between. Or not? I feel like if they do a part three,
they're like
going to have to fill
books,
in that.
Think, so
they're going to have to fill in that gap because we're so interested in what's going to happen with the relationships that are formed now.
I know the director doesn't want to do. He says he might do a third one. He said he was only going to do a sequel if the first one did good, and then this one he's like, I'm only going to do a third movie if.
Well, I think I still got
the flame, you know, to do it.
I watched an interview with him, and he said like fingers crossed, like he wants to do another one.
Okay, because
what
good.
He promised Zendaya. So here's what's interesting.
He
promised Zendaya that at the end of the, like, they wanted her for the first movie, and he's like, hey, look, this is just going to introduce your character. I want you on this project, but you're only going to be, like, you're barely going to be in it, but this is the setup, and you will be a very big part of the next movie. And apparently, they did the same thing for, what's her name, the Emperor's daughter, Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
They told her the same thing. So that would mean that the next movie she's going to be prominent, which means they have to pick up kind of where they left off.
I think in the recap thing that I looked at, I watched some like comparisons to Dune 1982. He does like that's his like he marries her, mainly for political reasons and stuff. So they do kind of have that. So she's probably going to be a super big character.
Right.
Zendaya is supposed to come back, obviously. But
she has to.
And then they're going to expel their water together.
Save the water, save the water.
Save the water, save the water. Treat every day like it's November.
I don't know. It's very interesting because I don't know. I want them to be together.
No. Yeah, I think that's definitely something I, because I usually hate love stories where it's like super cheesy. I don't think this is cheesy. I think it's done pretty cool.
Yeah.
They don't shove like they're falling in love in your face a lot.
Right. It's not like teen book adaptations, Hunger Games and Twilight and all these weird
even
things.
Even in some Marvel movies, you know,
right?
It's not like a forced thing, so that's good. And I think in the third installment that gives room for those heart wrenching you care about these people and someone might die or something, you know.
Right. Yeah.
With me not knowing if that is actually a part of the books or not.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I'm excited. But I think
I have a question. What'd you think of him having a vision of his sister?
Played by what is her name?
I don't know.
Dude, we suck.
Hey, you know what?
Suck.
It's okay. It's okay.
We're going to find her.
It's okay, Tyler. You don't have to make a big deal about it. You don't have to worry. Everything is good. And you know what?
You can't find it.
No, I can't find it. But I'm not.
Why is she not in the cast list?
I don't know. But anyways,
famous lady. Dune part 2 cast.
I'm already pulled the cast up.
I know, me too.
Her name is
Paul's sister.
Her name is
Pauline Clement. No, that's somebody else.
No, it's
Anya Taylor-Joy. Gosh dang, there it is.
Yeah.
So Anya Taylor-Joy shows up as like an older version of, well, you know, a birthed version of his sister.
A birthed.
Dude, it's so weird that his mom can just talk to the fetus.
You know how good that would be if mothers could do that? A lot less stress in the husband's life, I'll tell you that much.
But it would freak you out.
It would freak me out.
She'd be like, shut up. And you're like, what? And you're like, no, I'm talking to our child.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
What's the baby saying? Saying you suck. You suck as a father.
Yeah, I don't know.
Shut that baby up.
But it's just interesting because, like, this whole weird, you know, kind of conflict of, like, this religion versus control. And the way that they portray the mom, like we said, is you're like, wait, is she bad? But then, like, she's trying to put him into the prophecy so he can actually help people. It's a very weird of, like, what's the right thing and what's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, because it's like, well, yeah, she's only doing it because then it'll elevate her in the empire of being, you know,
maybe
leader.
Actually trying to help.
Or she's trying to help.
It's very clear, like, what's good, what's bad. We want the Fremen to be free. They've been oppressed. But and the Harkonnens are bad. Like, there is very clear good and bad. But then you have this weird gray area of, like, what's right and what's wrong, which can make a good movie.
What's the right thing to do?
And I think this does it right. Trying to see what other weird notes that I have here. I'm just going to praise.
You had Thanos versus Drax.
Oh, my God, dude. Dave Bautista's character, all he does is run away from shit. He's all talk. He's yelling at people. He's like, we gotta go in and kill him.
Let's
and then
go.
The sign
Shoot
of
him.
Anything
and he
going wrong.
That guy's neck. Like, yeah. He's your guy. Why are you going to break your guy's neck?
And then he lands. His people get fucked up a little bit. He
and
sees
he
Paul
runs away
and he
like
runs
a
away.
B-word.
And then he does the same thing at the end. And then the fight that he gets in lasts about 2.5 seconds and he gets stabbed in the neck.
I know.
Which I kind of like. I'm like,
no, that's
yeah,
fine.
Like,
he deserved it.
Yeah, like it's interesting to have like such a interest, like a buff, broody character, but he's just all talk. Again, to commend Timothée Chalamet, his acting. Two of my favorite parts. One of them was right after he drank the worm pee-pee.
The goo.
He went into that giant underground room of like hundreds of thousands of people.
Like praying.
Yeah, and Stilgar, because they were all going to converse about what to do about the upcoming war. And Stilgar was saying, like, you need to kill me.
Oh, yeah.
Or else you can't speak. You have to be a leader.
You have to be a tribe leader or something.
And so he walks up there and starts speaking, and the guy is like, you must take his life first. And Stilgar's like, yes, kill me. It's fine. Like, do what you must. And he's like, No,
that.
He's like, you really think I'm going to take out one of our good men? And then he just yells to everybody in the room. And the commanding of authority that he has as an actor in that moment, I love it. I think he does very good, and I really buy into his character there. And at the end, before he fights a white guy.
Yeah. His
here we go again.
Cousin.
Yeah, before he fights Fade Rotha. There's a moment where one of the Bene Gesserit tries to get in his head through, like, speaking through his mind. He's like, she says, I even wrote it down. She said, consider what you're about to do, Paul Atreides. And he just snaps at her and is like, silence! And it does that, like, echoey, just, like, incredible, like, commanding voice thing that they do with
the
audio.
It's kind of like when your dog's starting to, like, bark a little bit or whine, and you're like, hey!
Oh, but it was so powerful. And I remember your reaction to that, too, because I was waiting for it. You're like, oh.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. Shit.
Those moments are so good. When he, like, fully steps into his character, I just think he does such a good job at playing the dichotomy of this young guy in the first movie. He doesn't really know what he's doing to this powerful, controlling being. And everything in between makes perfect sense as to why they get there. This is like storytelling done right, where it's like, I'm a powerful character, but I've earned it.
Yeah.
And no one else does that anymore. They just make you powerful for no reason.
He's so he's like 28 years old, right?
I don't know how old he is, but
he's
sure.
28 years old. I looked it up. And
I could be playing him right now.
You could be playing him right
now. Mostly 28.
And so I mean that's young in his career.
Yeah.
He's got a ways to go. And it's really gonna be cool to see what his career
I'm excited. He's never been a guy where I'm like, oh, Timothée Chalamet's in this. I want to go see it. After this movie, he's going to be. He's very talented. Did you see the movie Beautiful Boy with him and Steve Carell?
I did see Interstellar.
Yeah, I forgot he was in Interstellar. But he's in. I haven't seen the movie, but I saw a scene, and he's also incredible in that. So let me see if I have any other notes here about what I really like. I said epic shot where, it's when he's walking, he's in the south, because the south part of the planet looks very different. It's all like gravelly, like it's been like burned almost.
Yeah.
And you have this shot of him walking to that gathering.
Yeah.
And you see the foreground is like that gravel dirt. And that's in clear and focus.
Right.
And he is blurred in the background, and he's slowly walking into the foreground, and you see one of the giant worms burst out of the ground behind him, and it's in like slow motion.
It's
and
like,
I'm like
he just like got off of the horse.
Yeah, but in his cape's flapping, and I'm like, yo, damn, it's so beautiful. The shots in this, man. I've gotten really just goopy for shots.
Jeez. No, but well, speaking of shots, then one thing that was kind of interesting is like after they won this battle, they're starting to just burn the corpses of all the, you know, the henchmen and
of the Harkonnen.
The Harkonnen and stuff.
And I guess it's not necessarily the Harkonnen because all the Empire's forces too.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Everybody, yeah.
Well, I'm like, isn't that kind of like opposite of like kind of what they do with?
You're right.
You know,
why aren't we getting water out of these
bitches? Like, why aren't they? Well, like, and they also like they give them to the sand. You know, they let Sam take them. I'm like kind of like, oh, that's kind of disrespectful. Is that him kind of going towards like an evil path?
Maybe.
You know, just like kind of.
That's a good catch.
Mad disrespect.
Mad disrespect.
I'm just saying. No, but yeah, that's what I thought of. And I was like, is this supposed to mean something? Maybe.
Maybe. That's a good,
catch. Maybe they'll talk about it in a future film.
Yeah. Or we're Timothy.
Or we're talking about it right now.
We're Timothy. Where Paul, after he kills Fade, he walks up to the emperor guy and then
kiss the ring, bitch.
Yeah, holds out his hand for him to like kiss the ring and just like stares at him with these just intense eyes. And the emperor just looks at him and he does nothing. And you see him get agitated. Like you see him take a breath. And he goes, and then he just stomps his foot on the ground. And the emperor's like, fuck, I'm sorry. I'll do it. I'm like, he's talented.
Also, he didn't even kiss his finger. He didn't kiss the ring. He just like pretended to. I was like, you little bitch.
Yeah, I like this movie a lot. I think that's all I have to say about it.
Yep.
I feel like I could go more into depth, but Nate's going to be sad that he missed this one.
Well, you know what, Nate? We'll look for buckets for you. We'll get you some popcorn buckets. You can just, you know, expel any kind of frustrations you have out on the bucket.
I also feel like my thoughts weren't very well articulated today for some reason. Maybe it was the peanut butter jelly getting to my head.
The peanut butter's on the roof of your mouth, you know, it just doesn't let you speak what you need to speak.
But also, this is what sci-fi movies should be like. We've had all these like superhero and sci-fi and all these movies coming out that are, and granted, superheroes are different than sci-fi, but it's, if you really think about what science fiction is, it's science fiction. Like it's, you know what I mean? It's similar enough to where you can compare it. And this is done eons better that it's just so refreshing to see a good movie.
Well, it's like I heard someone say that like right now they said that this Dune movie, it could be kind of the rebirth of people loving cinema and people liking science fiction. And I was like, you know, that's, I hope so.
Remember,
I think it is.
Remember on this podcast, I was like, look, I still want to act, but I don't want to act if I have to like sell my soul.
You ready to sell your soul for Dune?
I'm not ready to sell my soul, but this movie got me so much more excited about, it reinvigorated my excitement to get into movies, like to act in movies, but good movies. Again, I still don't want to be in shit movies. Yeah. But I'm like, yo, I would die to be in a project like
I know, and you know where, like, they traveled to the Middle East to film, like, half of this.
I know.
It's like, majority of this was filmed on location. And I'm just like, geez, you mean to tell me that they're not in some just big blue room? Thank you.
No wonder it looks so good.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm just like.
Also, we said this in the movie, and I forgot to bring this up. They ride sandworms, which is super freaking sick. How do they get off of them?
How do they? I mean,
we've never seen them stop one of those things.
We've never seen them stop one, but also like we saw just one person jump onto the back and it looked like hell.
Yeah, it looked like.
How
very
do you
tough.
Get like 50 people and a pregnant lady on there
with like a weird like
basket
cart? Like,
Mr. Sandworm, can you please stop? We gotta get on.
Like, can you take it easy? We gotta get on.
They're all shaggy.
Like, Mr. Worm, can you please stop? I've got a Scooby snack for you. Like, will you stop for a Scooby snack? Like, Worm, we got a pregnant lady.
Raggy, I got worms.
Raggy, I've got worms.
Right, I've got worms.
That's really what this is. This whole movie is Shaggy and
Shaggy
Scooby
and the worms.
Tripped too much on Scooby snacks. They had too many Scooby snacks, so they're tripping on them like shrooms.
And they got worms.
And Scooby got worms, and so Shaggy had to like pull them out of his butt and stuff.
Ew,
and they made a whole weird, like, in their brain, they're like, these are worms in a desert that we can ride. Sand people, oppression. Because they were on the beach,
bro,
too.
Bro, and I've got dry mouth. Do you have any water? Let me drink you.
Let me drink you. Scooby, no, don't shed a tear. I must suck it off your face. Don't waste your water.
These dragonflies are like spaceships.
Like, don't waste your water, Scoob. Let me drink your piss. Rookie Raggy.
Oh,
how do we go this far off the rails?
Oh,
Rookie Raggy, suck me dry.
No. My childhood is gone. I was so innocent.
Like, Scoob, why is your piss blue?
Rubini Rookie Rex.
Once you drink the Scooby piss,
Scooby
you
snacks.
See things.
Dude, when your pee looks that's like Baja Blast, you gotta.
That's
you gotta
what I'm
stop.
Gonna call the worm's poison, as they call it, or the water of life from the worms. I'm just gonna call it Scooby piss. And no one's gonna understand what I'm saying unless it's you.
Is that did we just find the title to the episode?
Dune, it's really just Scooby Doo piss. Dune 2, a.k.a. Scooby Pissed. That's good.
Oh, my gosh. I think we got to end it there.
Okay.
All
right. Well, it was fun to do an episode about a movie that was good for once. We'll see you in a year when we do another episode about a good movie. We'll see you when Dune 3 comes out.
Sweet. In like
maybe. You know which one we should do? Because I'm going to see this in theaters. Even if it's bad, we can rip it apart.
What?
Deadpool 3.
Deadpool 3. Oh,
Deadpool,
absolutely.
Deadpool Wolverine.
That'll be our next one. When is that coming out?
June.
June?
Yeah, like Dune, but with a J.
Yup.
January, February, March, April, May, Dune, July. Calling June Dune from now on.
Oh,
I love this
gosh.
Movie so much. Now I'm just You're talking. Nuts. Someone got to cut me off.
I would, but I'm gonna let you cook.
Let him cook. Let him cook. The biggest worm. I know how to cook. Goodbye.